stricken patients in life-threatening emergencies within the 8-minute target in rural areas. You know, it's important, in other words, according to the experts, in this case, ICWA, the Health Inspection Quality Authority, it's important that, you know, when you're in a life-threatening situation or where you have a life-threatening emergency, according to the inspectors or those who set the different standards, the ambulance must be there in under 8 minutes. That's only happening in 1 in 15 cases, which is quite worrying, isn't it? And then when I was reading the report, or should I say the details of the report has also revealed that even if tomorrow morning the new health minister, Simon Harris, took out the checkbook and decided to write a check, which would ultimately give this country all the ambulances it requires, and if he decided to employ all the extra personnel that are needed to provide a viable and safe ambulance service, it still really would leave people living in rural Ireland at risk, simply because parts of this country are just, quote, too rural when it comes to providing a safe ambulance service. I said to myself, what in the name of whoever is this all about? So I want to try and find out more about it. And for that reason, I've invited Michael Dixon, chairperson of the National Ambulance Service Representative Association, onto the show. And thank you for taking the call. You were listening to my introduction. How close am I in summarising the findings of that report?
Good morning, Joe. I suppose, from what we know of the report, because it hasn't yet been published, I say your comments, your introduction there is fairly accurate. But I think one thing that we have to take from that is that if one life-threatening emergency is attended to 1 in 15, it tells us then also like that for 14 other calls, the services are not available. So at the end of the day, like, it still comes down, boils down to the simple factor that we don't have the resources, we don't have the personnel. It's not just a case of every emergency call that comes into the National Ambulance Service is an unplanned event. And so even if you were to have an ambulance on every street corner in every village, town and city across the country, you're still not going to make it on time because, as I say, it's an unplanned event. So that is the risk that's involved.
Right, but we hear so much about the rural topography, if that's the right word, of Ireland, which is not at all conducive to providing a safe ambulance service. So, in other words, even if, as I said, Simon Harris were to present the health services with a blank check, because of the topography and because of the geography, those living in rural Ireland will always be at risk and will always be at a disadvantage when compared to their urban counterparts.
That's, I would say, is partially true, Joe, but there are other factors that we have to look at in the use of the ambulance service. First of all, like, the frontline ambulance service is for emergency calls. So with the introduction some years ago of the reconfiguration of hospital services, primary care facilities were to become a major part of the rural network, which we don't see. The out-of-hours doctor service and GP services, their use of the ambulance service also needs to be looked at. We have things like the mental health services that the ambulance service is not involved in, and it's not in any part of the legislation, but it's still used to transport patients. But another part of that too, like, is that unfortunately frontline ambulances, emergency ambulances, are also being still continuously used for inter-hospital transfers and also the discharging of patients. So if that's happening as well, you're actually at the loss of an emergency vehicle and crew. But in saying all that, like, all these things need to be discussed. And I think the capacity review, as it stands at the moment, and from what we know of it, unpublished, is that it doesn't just address the fact that 1 in 15 calls will be attended to. It addresses all issues in relation to the provision of a pre-hospital emergency care ambulance service. And I think one of the points on that that needs to be addressed is that when you have these other facilities in order, in place in order, and that there's cooperation between all the different services, I think that is a major part of it as well, like, and that has to be addressed. So hopefully the capacity review, as it stands unpublished, will allow us all stakeholders to be able to debate this and address it in a proper form.
Just again, because of the fact that we broadcast to a largely rural area, the air ambulance service that we see in action almost on a daily basis, I saw it landing in Longford, I think, on Friday evening last. And I know it gives people a great sort of feeling of reassurance almost that it is there and it is available to us all, in this region anyway. Surely that is something that needs to be taken into account when, you know, our ambulance service is being reviewed or being looked at once again by government. I take it that has been a huge success, has it?
You're right, and yes, it has been a huge success. But you have to remember too, like, the air ambulance service is a complement to the ambulance service, in addition to the ambulance service. It's not there to replace an ambulance service, for example, but at the end of the day, it's there for life-threatening emergencies. And sometimes it's also used for non-life-threatening emergencies, access to certain areas and so forth, that has to be addressed as well. But it's not there to replace it. And it's not there for every non-life-threatening emergencies. So we need to, again...
But can it improve the outcomes for those living in rural areas who are in a life-threatening situation? Because this report has revealed that the response times are being compromised because of the ruralness of the area. So surely that's where the air ambulance kicks in.
Absolutely. And ideally, like, it would be great if we had 3 to 4 or 5 helicopters available to us. But unfortunately, we don't. And that's the same as you can turn around and say, if we had 3 to 4 more ambulances in your area. You take, for example, the loss of A&Es in the north part of Leinster there, and the reconfiguration that went on there. When you remove definitive care or definitive A&E departments and you place them somewhere else 100 kilometres away or 50 kilometres away, again, you're expanding the amount of time that you need to get to the patient and then get them to a centre of care. So the problem is, as I say, it's not necessarily all based around the ambulance service. Mm-hmm. But I have to be honest with you. The issue at the end of the day in relation to this is the fact that I don't think anyone has ever built a house, Joe, and then afterwards come in and put the foundation in. Putting the basic foundations into the service is the first step. And after that, we address all the issues around that. But without a foundation, we can't do that. And the basis of that, may I say that, is because part of the issue here also is how the ambulances are deployed. And the National Ambulance Service and the HSE will continuously put out the spin that the ambulances and resources are dynamically deployed. But you cannot dynamically deploy what you don't have.
Look, we'll leave it at that. Thank you so much for that assessment, Michael Dixon, chairperson of the National Ambulance Service Representative Association. All right, then, let's play bingo.
Radio Bingo on Shannonside Northern Sound, brought to you in association with Black Patrick Monaghan Creamery.
It's Tuesday, the 10th of May. Time